From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 30th day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Don Day will be here to look at the weather forecast. Gary Schnicki is along with next year's budgets for the crops, and they're not pretty, at least for net income for farmers. And we'll get an update of crop progress across the Midwest from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Those, of course, are the five top corn-producing states in the nation, in order. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL is provided by the Friends of WILL and by Risk Management Commodities, presenting two summer information meetings on August 6th at the Sycamore Holiday Inn in DeKalb, Illinois, with breakfast served at 8 a.m., and at Wise Guys Bar and Grill Restaurant in Princeton, Illinois, with dinner served at 5 p.m.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Tuesday afternoon, futures were higher in the wheat pit nearby September at 655 and a quarter, 3¾ higher. December futures at 667 and three quarters, up 4.5 cents. September corn at 495 and a half, up 6¼. December at 477 and a half, a settlement price 6¼ higher. March corn futures at $4.90 and a quarter, up 4¼. And the May at 498, up 4 cents. July futures $5.04 and a half, up 4¼. And September at 505, up 2¾. Next year's December, that's 2014 at $5.06 and three quarters, up 2½ cents. August soybean futures at $13.50, 17½ cents the loss today. September down as well, 23 lower, at $12.49. November at $12.03, down 17. And January at $12.08, down 17½. The March contract 20 lower at $12.07 and three quarters. And next year's November at $11.83 and a quarter for 2014, down 19 cents. Bean meal off $9.70. Bean oil down 36 cents. Live cattle futures finished the August at 121.65, down 45. October down 32½ at 125.65. August feeders at 153.25, 2½ cents lower. The September futures there at $156.60 per 100 pounds, down 25 cents. August lean hogs today at $96.87½, a settlement price $1.02½ lower. And in October at $83.20, down $1.30. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you, of course, from Illinois Public Media, Urbana. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. September crude oil futures at $103.14 a barrel, $1.42 lower. Arbob gasoline trading at $3.02. That's 8¼ of a cent higher for the day. And the ethanol at $2.23½, 9¼ of a cent higher for the day. Arbob to ethanol spread at 78½ cents is just about unchanged. And the natural gas at $3.44½. That's 3½ of a cent lower. August diesel fuel at $3.08 of a cent, down 7¼ of a cent, and the gold futures on the day at $1,324.30 an ounce, $4.50 lower. The U.S. dollar at 81.82 is up 0.16. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy, a high of 75, south-southeast winds at 9 miles an hour, 30% chance of rainfall this afternoon in the Urbana-Champaign area. And then for this evening on a Tuesday night, we'll see a 30% chance of showers. This evening still cloudy and a low of 64. And Wednesday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 79 degrees. All this week on WILL, radio and television, be sure to tune in for some programming we're calling Changing Lands, Changing Hands. It's provided in part by Harvest Public Media. It's a group of reporters from around the Midwest. And they'll be airing programs for radio at 6:35 and 8:35 daily. And then for television, a special program on August the 1st, that's Thursday of this week, Changing Lands, Changing Hands. It's a really important topic, how to transition the farm from one place, one family member, to another.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, it is the 30th day of July, 2013. Wayne Nelson is out of the office this afternoon. John Hester is there in his stead for us. Thanks, John, for taking the time to fill in today. We do appreciate that.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Well, kind of an interesting week, a couple of weeks. What have the clients been talking to you about mostly?
Where the support is in the fall grains, corn and beans.
And do you have a good answer for them?
You know, I think with this perfect weather conditions right now, that probably corn is still got a little more weather premium to take out of it. You know, I think 450 will probably hold the Dease corn. And, you know, on the soy product, $12 was support today, and that held. If it breaks that, then 1175 to 1180 is the next resistance area there, or support area.
Yeah, the next support area is the 450, the $11 area. Are you of a mind that that's kind of the center point for the marketing for the year, roughly speaking, if we have a normal growing season the rest of the way out and we end up with a crop that's, I don't know, whatever size the marketplace thinks it is at this point? Now, what kind of, or maybe I should ask it this way. What kind of range would you give the marketing year at this time?
The marketing year?
Yeah. A lot longer out than maybe you think most of the time.
You know, if an average weather event the rest of the summer, and then, of course, you get into the fact, you know, what's South America going to plant and how much more will they plant, I would think that probably 425 on the extreme low end of the corn.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a chance back to 550, 575 on the upper side, maybe $6.
Oh, wow.
It all depends on demand, too.
Right.
Ethanol demand and foreign demand. And
So you see opportunity yet in the marketplace then?
Long term, possibly, yes.
I understand. Excellent. And for soybeans, do you have kind of a range? Soybeans seem like they might be a tougher call, or maybe even a wider range. I'm just not, they'd be wider default, but kind of a wider ratio.
You know, if the crop's better than they're speculating right now, you know, I think beans could go, they could have a 10 in front of them. $10.90, $11 to, you know, depending on what South America does on their bean crop and the rest of the world and demand, you know, to maybe back to 13.5.
Right. So tell me about conditions around Crawfordsville. Do you have a good crop, both corn and soybeans?
We have. Right now, I personally feel like if it didn't rain again,
mm-hmm.
that we'd have 150, 60 bushel corn.
And have you been getting rain today? We've had
not had any yet.
Okay, we've had about almost, not quite 2/10 yet, a 10th and 3/4.
And
here,
I think if we get, you know, another inch and a half rain the next 10 days, you know, we're looking at a great crop, 200.
Right, right.
I mean, it's probably 80% tasseled. Beans are waist high, full of bloom, pods. It's just that best crop I've seen around here probably in 7-8 years.
Uh-huh. And so, but you still find some optimism in your corn price, though. So I suspect you're thinking that out west they must not be doing nearly so well.
You know, I agree with that statement. You know, I don't know what I believe, how good or bad it is. It is out west. I've seen pictures on both sides of it. You know, unplanted acres, corn knee-high. Then the next row of pictures they show, you know, the corn's 6-7 foot tall and tasseled out, looking good. So
yeah, Jerry Gulke, who is our guest on Commodity Week just before I went on the show this afternoon, texted me some pictures, by the way, speaking of photos, of corn in northern Illinois, and it looks good. That's the second set of corn that I've had that has been more than blistered, or at least blistered and fully blistered from one end to the other. The other came from, I think, the Belleville area. That one was laid up against a ruler. It was 12-inch, and I think Jerry had his up against a regulation-sized letter, so just a legal-sized letter, so what's that, 10 inches across. And that was a good year, too. So it'll be interesting to watch it all come to fruition. John, thank you. Any final word before I let you go for the day?
Well, the only thing I know, I was just going to make the comment, our sweet corn's ready here, and I've been out in the sweet corn patch a little bit, and I have seen no bugs in the sweet corn or any disease whatsoever. So
that's a good sign for a good crop. Hey, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You too. That's John Hester. He is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon in Wayne Nelson's stead. We thank him for being on air with us this afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 71% of the corn crop has silked. Normally, that's 75% over the rolling five-year average. 8% of the crop has now entered the dough stage. That is usually at 17% during this week of the year. And the condition of the crop is now said to be 46% good, 17% excellent. That's the same as the previous week. Last year, those numbers were 21 and 3% respectively. Blooming for soybeans at 65% this week nationwide. 74% is the rolling five-year average. 20% of the crop is setting pods. The rolling five-year average is 34%. The condition of the crop, 50% good, 13% excellent. That is down one percentage point from the previous week, and that percentage point was lost in the good category. Now, here are the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation, in order.
This is Nick Schauer, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 28, 2013. The coolest weather in 8 weeks gave a reprieve from the typical hot summer temperatures, while rain in portions of Iowa lessened the concern over the lack of moisture. Even with the moisture this past week, crops still needed additional precipitation, especially in western Iowa. Statewide, temperatures for the week averaged 6.3 degrees below normal, with the daily record low temperature being set over much of the state on Sunday morning. Battle Creek reported a low of 39 degrees on Sunday morning, the lowest July temperature for Iowa in 19 years. The average precipitation for the week was about 1 inch, just above normal. The rainfall led to an increase in topsoil moisture conditions, although not enough rain was received to stop a decline in subsoil moisture. Overall, the condition of both corn and soybeans declined slightly from last week, and 53% of both the corn and soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Both the development of corn and soybeans continue to lag behind normal. 74% of the corn crop is tasseled and half of the crop is silk. Meanwhile, 63% of the soybean crop has begun blooming and 12% of the crop was setting pods. With 95% of the oat crop having turned color, slightly under half of the crop has been harvested, about 10 percentage points behind normal. This is Nick Schauer reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were well below normal across Illinois last week. The state average temperature was 6.5 degrees below average for this time of year. Rainfall was also below normal. The state average precip was less than 1 inch and was 1/10 of an inch below average for the week. For corn, 85% of acres are now silking. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and 86% for the five-year average. 14% of the crop is now in the dough stage. In terms of soybeans, 65% of soybean acres are now blooming, compared to 93% 1 year ago and 72% normally. 16% of soybeans are now setting pods. The condition of the corn and soybean crops was virtually unchanged from 1 week ago. 9% of corn acres are rated very poor to poor, 27% of acres are fair, and 64% of corn acres are rated good to excellent. Soybean acres, 7% are in very poor to poor condition, 22% are fair, and 71% of soybean acres are in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with a Nebraska Crop Progress Report for the week ending July 28, 2013. Another week of spotty rainfall did little to improve declining crop conditions in major dryland counties of eastern Nebraska. Although an inch or more of precipitation was received in portions of central and western Nebraska, but more is needed to reverse the prolonged drought conditions. Temperatures did cool considerably at the end of the week, which lowered crop moisture demands. Wheat harvest continued to move northward, but was slowed in southern Panhandle counties due to recent rains. Statewide, corn and soybean conditions continued to rate mostly good. Irrigated corn conditions rated near average, while dryland corn conditions declined for another week. Corn silking was over 80% complete, with 4% of the crop having reached the dough stage. Wheat harvest was 75% complete, behind last year in average, and the third cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 28, 2013. Minnesota farmers received a break from the hot weather during the week. Statewide, temperatures for the week averaged 6.7 degrees below average. Drier than normal weather in the southern two-thirds of the state reduced statewide topsoil moisture supplies to read 26% short or very short. With more than 2 inches of rain, the north central Minnesota was the only district in the state with significantly more moisture than average. 60% of corn was at or beyond the silking stage. That is an advancement of 41 percentage points from the previous week. Corn stalks grew 12 inches to reach an average height of 71 inches tall. Corn conditions declined slightly to 62% good or excellent. 68% of soybeans were at or beyond the blooming stage. That's behind last year's 93%. And the five-year average of 77%. 12% of soybeans were setting pods. That's 18 percentage points behind normal. Soybean plants were an average height of 20 inches tall. Soybean conditions declined slightly to 63% good or excellent. 42% of spring wheat was turning ripe. That compares to last year's 99% and the average of 62%. Spring wheat condition declined to reach 61% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 28th. Total precipitation from Monday, July 22nd through Sunday, July 28th, ranged from 3/107 inch at Valparaiso to 2.38 inches at Evansville. Areas that have missed the recent rains are becoming dry, forcing farmers to run irrigation systems if they have them. Temperatures range from 4 to 8 degrees below normal, with the coolest temperature of 42 degrees recorded at Wanata and the warmest temperature of 92 at Evansville. The cooler temperatures should be beneficial to the corn crop, as a large percentage of the acreage was pollinating during the week. 82% of the corn acreage has silked, compared with 96% last year and 78% for the five-year average. Crop dusters were busy applying fungicides to the corn fields across the state during the week. And condition of the corn crop declined slightly and is rated 76% good to excellent, compared with just 9% last year at this time. 72% of the soybean acreage is blooming and 35% of the crop is setting pods. Soybean condition is rated 74% good to excellent, compared with 16% last year at this time. Harvest of winter wheat is nearly complete, with only a few scattered fields remaining in northern counties. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. This morning, Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist from the U of I, dropped down to my Mumford Hall office. That's the home of the College of ACES, not the office, but Mumford Hall. Gary's up on the third floor. I'm in the basement. We had a discussion about his most recent posting to the Farm Doc Daily website. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. It's all about next year's crop budgets. Those are for 2014. I asked him his expectations.
Yep, we're releasing our 2014 budgets, and overall what we're projecting for 2014 is lower returns than we've had in recent years. primarily because we're using lower corn, soybeans, and wheat prices in projecting 2014 returns.
Tell me about those prices. What are they?
Yeah, we're using for 2014 returns $4.60 for corn, $11 for soybeans, and $5.80 for wheat. So $4.60 for corn is on all of them, but $4.60 for corn is lower than what we've seen in the past several years.
Yeah, and that's what, about 20 cents below what the crop budgets for this year were, I think, around $5 or $5.05 or something along those lines?
That's right. We were looking somewhere in the $5 range for this year, and we're seeing those prices come down.
Okay, let's stay with corn. What does it do to the budgets for corn for next year?
Yeah, for corn for next year, and this depends obviously on the region, but let's take a central Illinois case, high productivity. Corn after soybeans, we would be projecting a $348 return. And again, that's based on a $4.60 price, a 199 bushel yield, and something or a cost close to $560 an acre. Those costs we've held basically constant between 2013 and 2014. Slight increases in seed and fertilizer cost and the other cost held constant.
So there's the one big item that might really change, and I would suspect it would be fertilizer costs that may go down, but at the moment you have to use...
Yeah, but there is a possibility that fertilizer costs could come down, although we're hearing that may occur, but haven't exactly seen that in prices yet. So
there's no evidence that that's the case at this point.
That's exactly right. So there is a possibility of fertilizer costs coming down. But just to give you an illustration, we have fertilizer costs in there at $170 per acre. The most I could reasonably see those coming down to is like $130, $140, which obviously would help returns, but still it would be lower returns than we've been seeing in recent years.
Not just lower, but a lot lower returns.
Yeah, a lot lower returns. And just to give you a feel of that, again, take Central Illinois case. We're projecting for a corn-soybean rotation, which, by the way, happens to be the most profitable, $311 of returns. So, and that'd be for that's after non-line costs. So that's what's left to split between the landlord and the tenant. So if we have a cash rents have to be below $311.
This is in Central Illinois, so a $280, $300 cash rent wouldn't be that surprising, I suppose.
There's a lot rents higher than that, and actually we have cash rent some counties in Central Illinois where the average is in the $300 range. So
That leaves not much room, or no room actually for a profit.
Actually no room for profit in given some of the counties that we're looking at. So one of the things is we're coming into cash rent decision time, this fall. There should be downward pressure on cash rents, and we'll see exactly where that'll lead.
That usually does not happen, though. History tells us that's not the case.
Yeah, we haven't seen cash rents come down, average cash rents come down since the 1980s, so it's been a while. But again, that's where the budgets are leading us.
Gary, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist, U of I Extension. You can find his work on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
It's National Cheesecake Day. It's also St. Abdon's Day, patron of barrel makers. The Romans used barrels as early as the 3rd century A.D., By the mid-20th century, barrels had largely lost their appeal, except for the aging of spirits, including wine and whiskey. On this day in agricultural history in 1739, Caspar Wiskar founded the first successful large-scale glass factory in the U.S. Much of his trade was with the production of wine bottles. In 1838, it supposedly rained frogs in London. In 1849, Jacob Perkins died. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. Perkins also produced the first nails, which were both cut and headed by machine in America. He also patented a hot air furnace. In 1898, cornflakes were invented by William Kellogg, 4 years after he and his brother John Harvey accidentally invented a flaked cereal process based on wheat. In 1906, the brothers founded the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company, which is known today as Kellogg's. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes. Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to look at the weather forecast. Don, I see that last week from the state statistician's report, Iowa picked up about an inch of rainfall, but it's been pretty cool. They were dry. I suppose they need some more. And then there's kind of this big storm that's making its way across to Illinois, I guess parts of Missouri, overnight, too. What did you see then, and what can we see in the future?
Well, we have pretty good chances of rain just about everywhere across the Midwest, upper Midwest, and portions of the Great Lakes here over the next week or so. It'll be a fairly active thunderstorm pattern, and as you mentioned, a little bit on the cool side as well, and I think that is something that we're going to be really talking about as we head into the new month of August. Precipitation chances look good, but at the same time, we're going to be looking at periods of weather which will be downright cool and at times below normal temperature-wise as we head into the new month.
Well, how cool do you suspect it will be?
Well, at least here in the short term, I expect temperatures here over the next week to trend maybe around 3 to 5 degrees below normal, so not a lot. But the long-term trend that we see for August is for an area of low pressure over south-central Canada to be stuck in place, and the trajectory of air coming into the Corn Belt and Midwest is going to be mostly coming in from the west-northwest. We won't have the ability to really tap into the warmer air in the southern plains. So at least for the start of August, we're going to be not accumulating a lot of growing degree days.
Your expectations then as you look out over this two-week period for daytime and highs and nighttime lows?
Well, I would say that we're probably going to be running 5 to 10 degrees below normal on both ends. Most noticeable will be those high temperatures.
All right. Other places around the planet you have been watching?
Well, as we go around the globe, let's go over into Europe. Their pattern has turned cooler and wetter, especially in Central and Western Europe, France, England, portions of Germany. Those areas are cooler, wetter, while the Ukraine, portions of Russia are a little bit warmer and a little bit drier. Over in China, they've got a precipitation pattern that's a little bit on the dry side. Precipitation in many areas of China a little bit lacking here over the next week or 10 days. And when it comes to temperatures there, pretty close to normal, although there'll be some hot areas, especially some of the northern and central growing areas.
Speaking of cool weather, I did make note that South America, while they're not in the midst of their growing season at this time because it's winter, has been setting in Brazil record lows at this time, too.
Record lows and record snow in some areas of Brazil. In fact, the type of cold and winter weather that has probably done some damage to the coffee crop in some areas of southern Brazil. Now, they're a little bit warmer, especially Argentina. The cold wave has pretty much passed, but that may have an impact later on with coffee.
Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Don Day Jr. is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.